Well, last Sunday we began a new sermon series here at Westgate Chapel focused on Romans chapter 8, a series which we're calling Hope for Sinners and Sufferers, because Romans chapter 8 is one of the incredible high points of the Bible. It's a mountaintop, it's a summit from which we can hear all about God's never failing, never giving up, always and forever love for his people. And especially we hear about the hope that there is for those of us who know that we're sinners, who know that we've done wrong against God, and who know that we need forgiveness. And the hope that there is for those of us who suffer, who live in this broken world where marriages break up, where coronavirus stalks the world, and where injustice so often prevails. We began last week, of course, by hearing Paul's triumphant claim that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that Christians are completely and utterly and totally forgiven for all of their sin because of Jesus. There is hope for sinners. But being a Christian isn't just about being forgiven our sins. Being a Christian is about changing lanes, about moving from being slaves to sin to becoming sons and daughters of the living God, of being adopted into God's family. And that means that we're going to begin to live differently. We're to have transformed and changed lives. We're to become what the Bible calls holy. We're to live more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ did when he was here on earth 2,000 years ago. And that's really hard work. Because I'm sure you know, if you've been a Christian for anything longer than about 5 minutes, but it's hard work to change. It's hard work to stop the old sinful ways of living. It's hard work to grow in love and peace and patience. Well, this morning we're going to see in Romans chapter 8 that there is hope for us. Not just for forgiveness, but real hope that changes us too. Real hope that God is working in you this morning to make you holy, to change you, to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus. So let's pray together this morning. Let's pray as we turn to Romans chapter 8. And then I'm going to read our passage from Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. And we're going to see the hope that we have to change. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who does the impossible, that you take sinners like us and you forgive us. You transform us into the likeness of your Son. Help us, Father, this morning to hear your word and to believe it. And may we live lives that are increasingly holy, increasingly transformed by the Spirit, because Christ Jesus dwells within us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, if you've got a Bible there in front of you, it'd be wonderful if you could turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 5 to 13. Don't worry if you haven't got a Bible there to follow along with in the service, as the words will appear on the screen as I read. Now, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, Then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Firstly then this morning, we're going to see what you were without Christ. What you were without Christ. And this is in verses 5 to 8. An incredibly common question that Christians have, and that you in fact might have this morning, is this. How can I be a Christian? How can I be a proper, going for it, born again, thriving Christian if I keep on sinning? If I keep on doing those things which I know is wrong? If I keep on speaking to my family like that? If I keep on failing to work as hard as I should? If I keep up being grumpy and selfish? If I keep on going to those places I know I shouldn't be going, if I keep on sinning, how can I be a proper Christian? Or perhaps another way of putting it is, how can God love someone like me when I just keep up messing up again and again and again? Well, to help us answer this question this morning, God speaking through Paul to you, he begins by comparing what we were like before we became Christians with what we're like now. Now, Paul in this passage, he uses the word flesh. And when he's using the word flesh, he's not referring to a piece of meat or a steak. He's talking about the old sinful ways of living before we were Christians. Basically, the non-Christian, non-godly way of living in this world. Living as if God didn't exist and he had no right to command you how to live. And Paul uses the Spirit to represent our new spiritual way of living. Now that we have believed in the Lord Jesus. Now, I really like the way that Paul uses these verses to compare one way of living to the other. He compares as if he's saying, on the one hand and on the other hand. So in verse 5, Paul says, for those who live according to the flesh, they have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit, they have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Then again, he goes on in verse 6, to say that the way of the flesh is death, but the way of the Spirit is life. And how do we know which side of that fence we're on? How do we know whether we're living the way of the flesh or we're living the way of the Spirit? How do you know that you're a Christian, even if you've messed up again for the 10,000th time this year? How do you know? Well, it's because your mindset will be very different to people who aren't Christian. For a start, you will care, and you'll probably care quite deeply, that you sin. You'll be bothered when you mess up and get it wrong. You'll be disappointed that you're not growing in your love of God, in the feelings that you experience towards the Lord Jesus and the incredible things that he's done for you. You see, your mindset, your way of thinking, your way of life will be aiming towards heaven. Whereas before you became a Christian, you didn't necessarily mind about these things. You didn't really necessarily think so much about how you lived, and certainly not what God thought of how you lived. You didn't order your life around God's kingdom. And living without regard to God, living as if God doesn't exist, well, that's the way of the flesh. If I was to go into town, if I was to go to the butter market and stand outside Starbucks And if I was to ask 10 people down there, back when you used to be able to ask people in the street things about them running away with face masks on, if I was to ask 10 people outside Starbucks in the middle of town, do you care what God thinks of you? If I ask 10 totally random strangers, do you care what God thinks of you? I would be surprised if more than one or two of them said that they did. But if I asked you this morning, who's watching this stream, who's watching this video, who's watching this sermon, what do you care what God thinks of you? I would expect that the vast majority of people watching this would deeply care. You see, there's even worse news for people who aren't Christians in verses 7 to 8. Because Paul effectively says that without Jesus, people aren't just hostile to the God who made them, but they can't please him either. They don't have the power within them to make up for the wrong that they've done. For all the ways in their whole lives, from childhood to old age, for all the many different ways they failed to love God as themselves, for all the many ways in which they failed to love other people as they should. They don't have the power to do enough good to remove all the bad from them so that God would be pleased with them. And this morning, if you're watching this service and you've never come to Jesus before for forgiveness, these verses are talking about you. Because you cannot please God. You cannot change the direction of your life on your own. You need help. Because otherwise a day is coming when God is going to judge you. He's going to hold you responsible for how you've lived, for how you've spent your life. But this morning, if you pray, perhaps for the very first time, and you ask God for forgiveness because of Jesus, then you'll change lanes. Your life will be transformed and you will find total forgiveness. And you'll have hope to live a very different way of life. Secondly then this morning, having seen what we are without Christ, Paul tells us what we are in Christ today. What you are in Christ today in verses 9 to 10. Paul writes in verses 9 to 10. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. This morning, if you're watching this or you're listening online afterwards, and you're a Christian, if your mindset is inclined towards God and what he thinks of you, then there is some incredible news here. Because you are in God's kingdom. You are in the realm of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, one of the three persons of God himself, lives within you. Christ himself is in you. You are in Christ. Because of Jesus, you've been totally and utterly forgiven your sin. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see a sinner who is staggering around with sin. God looks at you and he sees everything wonderful that Jesus has done because Christ is in you and you are in Christ. And there's incredible hope to change here too. Because according to verse 10, the Holy Spirit is at work within you, changing you, making you desire the things of God more and more and more. And getting rid of that old sinful way of life and remaking you. Sometimes we can think that the whole process of becoming more like Jesus, of becoming more holy, what theologians use, and the proper word for it is sanctification, as being a bit like a fight between two equal powers that are duking it out within us. It's almost as if in a boxing ring within us, in one corner is the old way of life, the way of the flesh, battling it out to drag you back to those old sinful ways you used to live. But in the other corner, in the good corner, in the corner which we're hoping is going to knock out the spirit of the old way of life, the way which is going to lead us to godliness and life and peace, there is the Spirit who is going round after round, struggling within your heart, knocking it out to help you to struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. But that's not actually true. There's not actually an equal fight going on in our hearts between God's Spirit and all the powers of the old way of life. Because it's not an equal fight at all. In fact, it's completely and totally and utterly one-sided. According to Paul, if you're a Christian, you're in the realm of the Spirit. The fight has won. God has triumphed in you. Sin has lost. You're perfect in God's sight. You see, we're still living in these old, clapped-out bodies. In these bodies which are going to grow old, and they're going to get frail, and they're going to die one day. In these bodies which still want to live the old way. But the Spirit is living within you. And He's doing a renovation project. He's fixing you up. He's changing your desires. He's making you aware of your sins. He's installing new ways of living, new patterns, so that slowly but surely you are becoming more and more the person that you were always meant to be in Jesus. Now, some of the best reality TV, I think, has got to be those programs where you see a makeover, an incredible transformation happen. And especially any reality TV program that has Nick Knowles in it, the star of DIY SOS. You know that program on BBC One, normally about 7:30 in a weeknight in the middle of winter, where Nick Knowles and a camera crew and a team of builders and volunteers and all the money of the BBC, they descend on someone's home, on the home of someone who is in need, to completely transform it and make it into something wonderful. Well, in 2018, Nick Knowles and the gang came right here to Suffolk. They came to Mildenhall to help a man called Simon Dobbin and his family. Now, Simon had become disabled following a violent attack in March 2015. And the home the family had lived in wasn't suitable anymore for caring for him. It was tired. It needed improvements. But DIY SOS and a monster team of builders and volunteers came and they transformed the house into something that was almost unrecognizable. As they transformed it from a poorly functioning place to live, somewhere that was miserable and not a comfortable home, into a wonderful place where Simon could be cared for, where the family could be cared for. And in a small way, that transformation of a home in Mildenhall is a bit like what the Holy Spirit is doing in you today. As we're going to see, thirdly, what you are becoming in Christ. What you are becoming in Christ in verses 11 to 13. Paul writes in verse 11, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you." You see, the same Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is using that power within you today to change you. And so, as Paul says in verses 12 to 13, we're to live out our identity in Jesus. If God the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He does. then that power is within you. And it is. We are becoming more and more like Jesus. Day by day, you are changing. Week by week, you are becoming more like the Lord Jesus. And there is no power stronger than the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. There is no sin that is so tempting. There is no lie of the devil. There is no drawer of this world that is stronger than the Spirit who lives within you and who raised Christ up from the dead. So Paul's message, God's message to you this morning, is not to fear your sin. Not to fear your old sinful ways of living. Not to worry about God's disappointment with you when you get it wrong, and you will. But instead, to live out your identity in Jesus. To live out who you truly are. We're not just to avoid sin, as if being a Christian is all about seeing a list of naughty activities and making sure that we dodge them. Now, being a Christian means actively seeking to grow as Christians, to ask for God's help and that power, that very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that power will be working within you to help you, as verse 13 says, by the Spirit, to put to death the misdeeds of the body, and to live. So what does that mean for this week? It means that you have a real and concrete and certain hope to change. There is now no condemnation for your sin. If you're a Christian, you have been totally and utterly and completely forgiven by God because of Jesus for your sin. That's not just all the sins that you committed before you became a Christian, but it's all the ones which you've committed so far and all the ones you'll commit still before you get to glory. And there is the power within you, the Holy Spirit who is working to change you from within. So ask for God's help to change, to become who you really are in Jesus. This week, why not ask God to help you to become more like the Lord Jesus? It's a dangerous prayer to pray because God will love to answer it and to transform your life. Why not ask Him to help you to grow in one of the fruits of the Spirit? Maybe pick one. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Maybe pick one and ask God to help you grow in that, even this week, by His Holy Spirit. Ask God to help you to grow in your love for your neighbours on your street, offering to help them when it's not convenient, helping you to take an interest in their lives and their families, helping you to seek to serve them because God has loved you. Or perhaps ask that God would help you to grow in peacefulness, for you wouldn't be gripped by anxiety. Anxiety about the virus, anxiety about money, anxiety about the future. But instead that you'd know the peace that comes from trusting the Lord and seeking His priorities in your life. Or you could be asking the Holy Spirit to help you to be more gentle. Turning the other cheek, not upsetting the children unnecessarily, bearing with that colleague at work who just keeps getting it wrong. Above all, we mustn't tolerate sin in our lives. Sin is unacceptable. We must cut it out wherever we find it. There is no such thing as a respectable sin, and we must strive wherever we see ungodliness in our lives, to run from it. Because sin belongs to the old way of life. Sin leads to death. Instead, live out who you are in Jesus. Live out who you are becoming in Jesus. Because if you are a Christian, you are spiritually alive. You are forgiven. You are a son or daughter of the living God. And within you, you have the power to change. You have the hope that you can change and become the person that you were always made to be. It might be a very long and a very slow road, because none of us are going to be perfect in this life, but we're all in it together. So let's encourage one another to fight sin, to become the people we were meant to be, because God has forgiven us. Jesus has died for you, and the Holy Spirit is working in your heart today to change you. There is hope for sinners. There is hope for forgiveness. And there is hope to change. And there is hope for you. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hope that we have. Hope not just to be forgiven, hope not just to be adopted into your family, but hope to live as we truly are, as your sons and daughters. Help us, Father, to live holy and upright lives. Help us to seek to serve and love others. Help us to grow in our love for you. Help us to put to death the deeds of the body and to instead to put on the ways of righteousness. Help us to set our minds on things above and follow after the Lord Jesus. Help us to know your forgiveness when we get it wrong. Help us to be quick to confess our sins. And may you be working within us powerfully to change us. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.